Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. This is not Paul Charchian. This is Scott Fish hanging out. Paul Charchian's palatial estate here with Brian Johnson.
Yeah, I am Brian Johnson, also not Paul Charchian. Charch will be back next week. He's on the road right now, making some training camp visits,
yes.
Gathering some intel,
yes,
for all you loyal listeners. And this is our last off-season show. The off-season, well, I guess it's not the off-season in the NFL now. You don't call the off-season the off-season when training camp's going on, right?
Yeah, there's really no off-season in the NFL anyway. So,
but starting next week, the long-form shows are back.
I love it. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Super excited.
This is the last kitchen recording.
We'll be in studio
for the big show starting next week.
It's like the Lost Files or something, like Paul Charchian and the kitchen recordings. You
know? Yeah, I feel like I've been here for like a week.
Yeah,
just
I just got here. They lowered the drawbridge. I drove across the moat. You don't see a lot of moats these days in the United States.
Yeah,
Charch has one.
I just got finished feeding the gators, so they weren't too riled up, I hope.
But, Minnesota Gators.
What are we talking about today, Scott?
We're just going to go over some of the early training camp headlines that have hit.
Everyone's in the best shape of their life.
Everyone. Literally everybody. Alan Lazard is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
Derek Carr is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
future Hall of Famers.
Nothing but good news. Nothing but good news. Except, we should start in Tampa Bay.
Let's start in Tampa Bay.
Bad news. He's an offensive player, but not a fantasy player.
Right.
But All-Pro center Ryan Jensen looks like he's probably done for the year, huh?
Yeah, that's not good for that line. They've been building up a lot of stuff there. Going and grabbing weapons, you know, it is a hit, but you know, hopefully they can, it's early enough that maybe the offensive line can gel by the season.
Yeah. And I mean, it's Jensen likely done. And from last year, they're going to be missing Ali Marpet, who retired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, forgive me, I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head, but, another starting lineman is now with, the Bengals. So looks like going into the season, the Bucks are going to be down three linemen from last year. So that concerns me a little bit for Leonard Fournette and, of course, Tom Brady and his pass catchers. And speaking of Tom Brady's pass catchers, what do you think about the Julio signing?
Hate the number. I like 85? The signing.
Is he going to play tight end, you think?
You know, he actually was fairly okay when he played and when was fully healthy over the last 2 years. He's just missed a lot of games, and that's his biggest bugaboo recently. In fact, he's had those lower leg injuries his whole career, you know, so that's That's the concern with Julio is the injuries. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers also said they did not put they cleared Chris Godwin, so he's not going to be on PUP. He's going to actually, sounds like he's well ahead of schedule.
I'm still not convinced he's going to be ready week one, though.
We will see. I think one thing bringing in Julio does is they can take their time with him a little bit. Maybe he doesn't start on the PUP, but maybe he's back in a few weeks in.
My main takeaway from the whole Julio signing and then this Godwin news was just how quickly everyone has dismissed Russell Gage, who a couple weeks ago, I'm not either. I mean, outside of Mike Evans, I've still... Based on ADP, Julio's ADP has spiked. Gage's has fallen. Godwin was always getting drafted before Gage, even before this news. Yeah. But based on ADP right now, I mean, I like Russell Gage more than Julio season long. I'm not convinced. I mean, Gage has 8 touchdowns over the last 2 seasons.
Yep.
Julio has 4. Gage has twice as many touchdowns. He's like twice as young.
Here's the real thing with Gage is cost. Like, I think he's going to have good games this year. He's probably better in best ball.
He'll have his spike weeks for sure.
Yeah, but I think the big thing with Gage is his price was starting to get to the point where you started to get a little more on the fence, but now his price is dropping again, and that's when you want to buy on him.
And lastly, on the Bucks, we briefly mentioned him when talking about Jensen. Leonard Fournette, not fat.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good.
Yeah. So rumors of him being 260 a few weeks ago, reported into camp at 244, which for the size guy he is, like, he's just a big dude.
Yeah, I think he just like went to Taco Bell for one last blowout the day before he got weighed in that day, but he's shed all that water weight, so not too concerned.
We'll see.
With the BMI of Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, we'll see. There always seems to be a little bit of sharing down there, but Ronald Jones gone, Rashad White in, Gio Bernard should be healthy this year. They've got depth behind Fournette, but he should be mostly the carrier there. Next guy we want to talk about.
Yeah, let's stay in the division and talk some a couple Saints talking points. I think Michael Thomas is the key one here. Present from day one of camp, running routes.
Yep.
They're not. No one's in pads, but he's in uniform. He looks like he'll be ready week one. And no one was convinced he was going to be ready week one all summer long, all winter. He was getting drafted outside of the top 30 wide receivers, right in that range. But if he is fully healthy going in to the season, where do you have him? I mean, I think you got to treat him as a top 15 option.
You could. I don't know that I have him that high, and I don't know how much I believe it just yet. I mean, he's about 3 years away from good fantasy production at this point, a little over 2 years.
It's been a while, but back then we were arguing him as the number one overall pick in fantasy football. Yeah,
I wasn't too convinced by some of the earlier videos this offseason. We will see. I do kind of like Chris Olave's skill set with Jameis Winston personally. I'm not going to rank him over Michael Thomas probably, but I'm probably still avoiding Michael Thomas depending if he's going that high.
Yeah, Winston's a guy, if you're going to wait on quarterback in your drafts, who is very intriguing to me now with Thomas healthy.
Yep.
You just mentioned Olave, stud rookie. They signed Jarvis Landry.
Yep.
Alvin Kamara, who from what I'm hearing, I don't think he's getting suspended this year.
That's what I'm thinking too.
Because the league is not going to do anything until the matter is settled outside the lines, right? Yeah,
it does seem like it'll be.
And it doesn't seem like any kind of, you know, conviction or settle, whatever, is going to happen until after the football season. So Jameis Winston, I mean, he's got some weapons. He stays healthy.
It's a good late shot.
He can throw a lot of picks, of course.
It does feel like one of these years that in one quarterback leagues, you almost don't even need to draft one, and you can pick one up after the draft. In super flex leagues, it's deep, it feels like, this year.
A lot of great late options like Winston. I like Davis Mills. I think Jared Goff is kind of intriguing. Maybe Daniel Jones. We'll talk a little more Giants in a minute.
Sure. How about we do that now? We talked enough Michael Thomas. Let's talk about Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
he's looking incredible, making some incredible catches. Like, they're highlight reel, right? But like, if Saquon Barkley is last year, honestly, that ankle injury was kind of a fluke deal, you know?
He just stepped he stepped on his teammates.
Yeah, and twisted his ankle to the side and got the big bulge that we all saw the pictures of. If he's 100% back, huge pass catcher in that offense.
Yeah, Barkley's a guy
at 75 who
I've talked about a few times over the last month or two as a great bounce back candidate. Last year was his first year back from the torn ACL or MCL in 2020. Running backs generally take a couple years to come back from that, 2 years to come back from that. So this will be his second year. And last year, the Giants, arguably the worst offensive line in the NFL, they made a significant investment in the O-line in the draft. So Barkley, I've been doing best ball drafts since February, Scott. And I remember he was going mid to late third in the winter. And now he's climbed up to early second. And I think he's, once preseason games start, he's not going to play a ton in the preseason, but he reels off a 78, just one highlight play in a game. He's going to be back in that late first, mid first round convo. Like right now I'm starting to like Barkley more than Najee Harris, who's going before.
Do you do rankings? Where do you have? I have him at RB8 or nine, RB9, I think right now, which is higher than he's going.
Yeah,
I think he's going at about RB12 or so.
I do them in my head. And
okay,
in my,
sure.
I don't publish any. I should. I wish I did. I need to do that. But yeah, I feel like he's going too late, and I'm going off course a little bit here. And Dalvin Cook going too late. But if I'm in the late have a late pick in the first round, and I'm going running back, Cook, Barkley all day. I've been doing that a ton. I love those.
Charge
two guys.
Has him at RB10. We basically have our nines and tens flipped. So he has him at 10. I have him at 9.
Certainly RB1 upside if he stays healthy.
Yeah, absolute RB1 upside if stays. And you're getting him in the third in a lot of cases. Sometimes the fourth even, which is it's pretty late, honestly. Let's go on to, do we want to talk about the camp battle between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, which is looking kind of gross on both ends?
Yeah, that's not too fantasy relevant, really. I do know that Baker and DJ Moore have been showing some chemistry early on in camp.
Right.
But I mean, it's really about who benefits most when it comes to McCaffrey, DJ Moore.
Let's skip it. It's not super, super fantasy relevant. Let's go over to the Chiefs. The Chiefs lost Tyreek Hill. Who's going to replace him? Juju's making great plays. Sky Moore is the talk of camp. Are these guys fantasy, super fantasy relevant?
They've been making, and again, everyone's been making great plays in camp so far. Everybody's super excited to see any kind of football action. But, you know, everyone, I was really concerned, not concerned, but let's put it this way. Before Tyreek was traded to the Dolphins, it was Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. In every draft I did, whether it was Superflex or one quarterback, they were going in that order. They would go earlier in Superflex drafts, of course. Hill gets traded. All of a sudden, I'm seeing Herbert going before Mahomes. Lamar Jackson, a lot of times. Mahomes is kind of he's still a top five quarterback. Yeah. Based on ADP, it was all because he lost Tyreek. But now I'm looking at Sky Moore and Juju's looking good.
Yeah.
I like MVS. Now I'm starting to think like
he's Mahomes got options. It just won't be centered around one person. It'll be spread out more.
And of course, Kelce is still around. So I think people got overreacted a little bit to the loss of Tyreek Hill. I think the Chiefs are going to be just fine. And Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. Talent-wise.
Talent-wise.
Yeah. There's that top four or five that just like you can flip them around however you want, and I'm going to be fine with it.
Even in Scott Fishbowl, I've seen Mahomes was sliding to the QB4, QB5 range. So if he falls to you in your drafts that far, I think it's a gift at this point. So I'm not. Tyreek Hill will be missed, but not as much as I thought initially.
No. What do you think about the reports of Sky Moore potentially taking some Debo like
the next Debo. Yeah, they're saying
that everybody wants to be the next whatever worked last year.
Yeah, but they've been showing those packages in practice so far. And Andy Reid said something along the lines of him having like running back legs or something like that.
Chenault taking plays in the backfield, Tony taking plays from the backfield, Debo and Sky Moore and Curtis Samuel. There seems to be a lot of them this year that they're like, this guy's going to do this because
Andy
Debo did
Reed's
it last year.
A creative guy, right? And we saw Tyreek Hill take some carries out of the backfield, so I'm sure we'll see some of that from Sky Moore, but everyone's sky.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get over a wide receiver wearing the number 24. But since it's my favorite number, Ken Griffey Jr., I'll allow it, and I'll probably overdraft him someplace. I want at least a couple just in case, because there's a chance he leads the rookie wide receivers in receiving yards this year.
Let's talk George Pickens. Let's stick with rookie wide receivers. George Pickens with the Steelers, of course. Nothing but good things coming out of Steelers camp.
Yes.
For those unfamiliar with George Pickens, tore his knee up last spring. He would have been he's out of Georgia. Basically, in my mind, would have been the top wide receiver taken if he didn't suffer this knee injury last spring. He came back last college season, played the last three or four games. Looked pretty good, but of course coming back from a major knee injury, but he looks healthy now. And, I think the Steelers got a steal, with Pickens. And of course, Deontay Johnson is still wide receiver one there, but I'm thinking I like Pickens more than Chase Claypool going into this year, who, Claypool getting drafted before Pickens. So
I think if you incorporate price, I can definitely see that he's going to get on the field a decent amount, but the wide receiver three in Pittsburgh just, it has been so boom or bust for so many years, and it's, you know, it's the same coaching. It's different quarterback, but it's everything. It's so much the same there that,
it's to be determined if we're going to get Trubisky.
I really like Pickens as a really great high upside late pick, just because the immense amount of talent, and we've already seen some of those, you know, one handed catches that he made in, especially early in college, in camp so far. So.
I take it back. I think Jamison Williams would have been the top wide receiver taken, but he also suffered the knee injury.
ACL injury, national championship game.
But George Pickens, I think we're not sold on Jamison Williams of the Lions, of course, being ready by week one. But
not at all.
Pickens like more like will be ready, and he looks ready for the league right now. But like you said, concern is quarterback really right now.
Yeah, and like all the concern, like nobody thought Pickens wasn't talented. It was just, you know, off field and maturity and stuff. You know, if he comes to work as a pro, like, yeah. So we got some more things we want to talk about that's happened in camp so far, but we're going to take a quick break here.
Got to pay the bills.
Got to pay some bills. Well, does Church need to pay the bills? Like, can't he just fund this himself with just sell off some of those gold statues that are in the yard? Maybe
they're gold statues of himself too. they're fountains. I won't say where the water is pouring out of.
There's one of Scraps. There's one of Pepper. The other dog. What's the other dog's name? Pepper.
Scraps and Pepper.
Scraps and Pups. Pepper. All right, we're gonna take a break. We will be right back in a minute.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm your host today, anyway, Scott Fish. Sitting across from me is Brian Johnson.
What's up, Scott?
What's going on? We're co-hosts. I'm your co-host with Brian Johnson.
We're tag team in this
one.
Like the, what was your favorite tag team back in the WWF days? I know it's the WWE.
I don't know.
So many good ones.
Probably
Remember the Rockers?
The Kevin Nash, Scott Hall tag team.
That was a little later than I was more of the, you were into wrestling a little later on in life than I was. Yeah. I remember the Rockers.
Yeah. Okay.
Demolition.
No, I was into wrestling at a young age. I don't remember the names as well. You know,
they didn't have a name, but there was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And who did he team up with? Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Yeah, we're way off topic now. we should know this stuff.
I can talk late 80s wrestling all day, though, I think.
Let's go over to Buffalo, where Isaiah McKenzie is the absolute talk of camp right now. How do you feel about Isaiah McKenzie? They just signed Crowder to take that role, and McKenzie's the one stepping up, apparently.
Yeah, this was like the first bombshell fantasy relevant story out of camp was Isaiah McKenzie running with the ones. Like you said, the Bills signed Jameson Crowder in the offseason, and Crowder was a guy going, you know, round 11, 12-ish in drafts, and McKenzie was going undrafted at times.
Yeah, basically
or last round,
yeah.
But now that gap is narrowed.
I didn't even see McKenzie drafted in any of my drafts I've done so far before this.
Right. Yeah. But I'm not overreacting too much. Of course, Cole Beasley no longer there, but, you know, Beasley was a very viable option in fantasy football for the last few years in that offense. So it'll be interesting to see who gets the majority of work out of the slot for Buffalo, but it's going to be way more of a competition than initially.
Josh Allen does throw to the slot a ton, but was it because of because he had Beasley there or was it, you know, their scheme? They also seemingly, with the addition of James Cook and the fact they went after J.D. McKissick and things like that, they seemingly want to get the ball to the running back in space as well. So that it's going to be interesting what happens behind Diggs there.
Yeah, and
Gabriel Davis.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's expecting a big bump in production from Gabriel Davis. Dawson Knox, of course, popped off last year. He's a red zone threat. So speaking of Diggs, I mean, one of the best wide receivers in the league, of course, but there's just so many mouths to feed right now. I'm a little worried about Diggs when it comes to just, you know, his fantasy potential. He's going to be a threat on the field in reality football, of course.
His upside is, I mean, like, he's still probably going to finish right around the top 12 wide receivers, even with the downtick. It just may not be wide receiver one overall upside like it was a couple of years ago.
To hit that like 150 target mark might be tough.
I think the main news here is just the way McKenzie's playing with the ones, the way he's standing out, and the flashes we saw last year. He's draftable now. You shouldn't ignore him now. You should probably be taking that dart throw at the end.
And what people need to be also concerned with when it comes to Buffalo, quote unquote, concerned, is they got a great defense.
Yeah.
It didn't show in that the last game against the Chiefs in the playoffs.
And they're going to
have
down
Tre'Davious White and a few other people, but they're not going to be in a ton of shootouts. They're probably going to get up big.
Their in-division ones are going to be interesting with Oakland, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. Those will be some interesting ones, but you're right. Their defense is actually pretty good.
So, yeah, I'm really just talking to Diggs. I don't know. The price tag seems a little heavy for me. With Diggs and then Gabe Davis is going pretty early for me too. But
Gabe Davis went from a guy that everybody loved, but he was going at a reasonable price. And now, like I mentioned this on another show the other day, I saw Gabriel Davis go as wide receiver 14 in a draft. And I'm like, That is just ridiculous.
Well, there's no greater recency bias than a 200 plus
four touchdown
game, which was what Davis did in that loss to the Chiefs in the divisional round last year. Before we leave Buffalo, we would be remiss if we didn't bring up Zach Moss on this show, a favorite of the show. But I've seen a little steam.
He's taking the ones.
What? I've seen a little steam on ones. Zach Moss.
We're talking about a guy who was inactive, a healthy scratch multiple times last year, is taking snaps, like splitting ones. That's, come on.
We joke on the best shape of their life narrative, but he did look like he was in good shape. And
it really feels like one of those healthy scratches put something in his mind that he's like, okay, I gotta step it up.
But I wouldn't call Zach Moss a dead cat just yet.
Honestly, I think this makes everything worse. I think James Cook had some decent PPR upside. Like as a late flyer, he averaged like 7 touches a game in college. Like he's not going to be huge, but he would have some weeks, and Singletary would have some weeks. This just muddies the field even more for me right now.
The moral of the story is the only Bill you can feel confident in is Josh Allen. Basically, there's just way too many mouths to feed in Buffalo, but yep. We shall see what happens.
So over to the Packers, Alan Lazard being talked up by his quarterback,
Cameron Poe.
Watson hurt. Romeo Dubs, you seem to like. Coming out of the draft, I'm like, this is a nice deep threat that might have some best ball spike weeks. What are you liking over there for the wide receivers in Green Bay?
Yeah, you mentioned, for those that don't know, Aaron Rodgers, when asked about his thoughts on going from
Devontae Adams
to Alan Lazard, he's like, well, I'm going from one Hall of Famer to another.
Yeah, which was in response to Devontae Adams, who said the same thing about going from Aaron Rodgers to Derek Carr, going from one Hall of Famer to another.
Now, Lazard had 8 touchdowns last year, minimal targets, and like, you know, you play the extrapolation game.
Yeah.
He's going to have like 20 touchdowns. But again, he had Devontae Adams there taking the heat off of him. He was facing single coverage every snap he was on the field. I doubt Alan Lazard has ever been double teamed his entire life. That might happen now. So we'll see if he actually can be the guy. I'm not fully convinced. We shall see. But that talk is, I've seen Alan Lazard's ADP rising over the last month or two. He's getting a little pricey.
I've done drafts where him and Watson go in a very similar area. And I feel like Lazard is just so much safer. Like Watson for me is like, he played at a lower level and he should have been able to do way more than he was, given his, you know, he's kind of a physical, you know, beast. So I think Watson is a huge question mark. I think his range of outcomes is huge. He could completely bust or he could be the Packers wide receiver one. I just feel a lot safer with Lazard.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers tends to trust people he's played with before.
Yeah, and Watson, you're referring to Christian Watson, of course, who when drafted by the Packers in the early second round, huge bump in value, but now he's in danger of missing some. He's not practicing right now. He had a minor knee procedure done. They said he probably could have played through it, but they figured why risk it? But it might be a slow start for Christian Watson. So I think we're going to see him slide down the draft boards a little bit these next couple weeks. And Romeo Dubs, I wish it was Dubs, D-O-U-B-S. I guess that's Dubs. Green Bay's always got weird pronunciations with their players' last names, going back to Brett Favre. But Dubs could be a steal for both Green Bay and fantasy managers willing to draft him. He's looked good in camp so far, but again, these guys are running around in short shorts and no pads, so I'm not going to read too much into this Dubs hype just yet.
Yeah, stay tuned for next week when we talk about training camp battles once again.
Speaking of hype.
Hype.
For what feels like the third year in a row, Paris Campbell sleeper season.
It's not even third, it's every year. Like when he was drafted, like he was going to grow with Andrew Luck, remember? Like it feels like it's every year this comes up, but I still kind of believe a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure Church believes. Church has always kind of been a Paris Campbell fan. Yeah. But, you know, it was, and we're talking Colts now. And when Colts wide receivers, Michael Pittman, the clear wide receiver, won.
Yeah.
And forever, not forever, but ever since the draft, it was Alec Pierce. And those were the only two Colts receivers I saw getting drafted. But then as we got into the spring earlier in the summer,
Paris Campbell
was healthy, and now that gap has closed big time. Where now I've seen some people take Paris Campbell over Alec Pierce. I don't know. I don't want to get hurt again by Paris Campbell. I'm resisting unless like he's falling to me in the last round.
I did a show about 6 to 8 weeks ago that I talked about Paris Campbell being a sleeper for this season, and I'm pretty sure that's why he's now getting drafted. No, I'm just kidding.
I hope he stays healthy, but I got to see it from him before I'm going to be willing to take him as a wide receiver 4 or 5 option for me on any of my fantasy teams.
It's weird to remember that T.Y. Hilton is still there. Nobody has talked about T.Y. Hilton this entire offseason, it feels like.
T.Y. Hilton, he's got to be, what, 35?
I read a thing the other day saying Julio Jones. He'll still be in the mix. Probably just enough to annoy fantasy owners because he won't be playing there because you'll be playing other Colts starters.
All right. This was the... I'm going to call it a scandal, the biggest scandal in preseason so far. This is kind of a fun topic.
This is fun. This isn't fantasy relevant.
Russell Wilson shows up first day of camp. First off, he was in like a vehicle straight out of Mad Max, yes. Fury Road.
Yeah, that thing was like, ridiculous.
And you could tell he's never taken this thing off-roading once because the tires were like spotless.
Yeah, it's that was interesting, an interesting vehicle.
But he jumps out of his tank that probably costs like $400 to fill up right now.
And that was just for the drive to the stadium.
Wearing his own jersey, Broncos jersey, and it's a throwback jersey. I get they wear throwback jerseys, but I don't even know where to begin with this.
Yeah.
People, he's wearing the same number 3 that Drew Locke wore.
Yep.
And people are like, oh, he's throwing some shade at Locke. But you could see the little badge, because it was a throwback jersey, his name in the bottom left. But have you ever, and of course, players wear their own jerseys when they play or in practice, and they wear them in commercials or like if they go to a children's event. Hospital or something like that.
Event, sure.
But just to rock your own jersey like that is so off-putting. This guy, weird. He is a strange bird, man.
He does seem like a strange bird.
But we just had to mention that. Yeah. I mean, if you're not talking Russell Wilson wearing his own jersey, you're not having real camp.
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen that too much. Like, I feel like I would have remembered had I seen that. But yeah. And Aaron Rodgers shows up like Cameron Poe out of Con Air.
Yep. Never mind.
Yeah, let's.
He didn't do the proper head shake in Con Air though. He tried with like slicking his hair back, but he didn't like pull the full Nick Cage effect, but he did a pretty good job.
Let's go over to the San Francisco 49ers. Maybe this is the last one we talk about. We're about a half an hour in, so why not? Brandon Ayuk apparently has taken a big step. He's starting to be more of a leader out there. He's not going to get the doghouse treatment he started the season with last year. He rounded out the season fairly decent. How do you feel about Ayuk? Is like, it sounds like everything from maturity to work ethic to, you know, plays, it seems like he has taken that step this year. And he's on a good page with Trey Lance.
Yeah. He looked amazing his rookie year in 2020. I mean, like you said, last year he wasn't even really playing when the season started, and it wasn't because of injury or anything like that. And you're just like, oh my God, what's happened to Brandon Ayuk? But then he came on strong. His last season wrapped up. I got high hopes for him going into this year. It's really just a matter of, there's a few matters. Is Deebo Samuel going to be back? It's seeming like he will be now. I don't think that really hurts Ayuk. It might even help him a little more than hurt him. Is Trey Lance ready to be a pro quarterback? And we're going to find out. They're either going to cut Jimmy G or trade him. It doesn't seem like anyone really wants to trade for Jimmy G right now. So it's Trey Lance's team. It's really just a matter of how accurate Trey Lance is and how involved Ayuk is in this offense. Of course, like we just said, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, a threat. San Francisco loves to run the ball. Trey Lance is a very mobile quarterback and have a lot of designed runs. So
that's going to be the question. You know, young quarterback, how many, like, we are valuing all these players as fantasy assets. How many can he truly lift up on a consistent week-to-week basis?
The talent right now is there to justify the hype for Ayuk, but I'm concerned that the volume won't be there.
That's the thing.
So I'm kind of off Ayuk this year until I can like see the volume justify the ADP, basically. If he gets 130, 120 targets, I'm in all day, but I don't know if he's...
It does feel like a concentrated offense, though. If there's only 450 attempts coming from Trey Lance, which would be pretty dang low, I could see 100-ish going to the three mains.
Yep.
So
and Juwan Jennings is clearly wide receiver three, but he was utilized last year.
Yeah, there'll be other targets, but I feel like it'll be concentrated to those three, at least for fantasy output.
All right. Well, I think we hit all the.
Let's call it right around 30 minutes because we got to do 2 hour shows coming up. I'm actually excited for that. It's not got to do that. I love getting together with two co-hosts, you know, three of us in the room talking football, training camp, actual preseason games.
Charge will be back hosting. I think you and Matt are on the first show, right? I think I get the week off.
Yeah, I think I'm on 12 of the next 13 shows. So you're going to get a lot of me. I'm sorry for that, guys. Everyone listening.
Are all the Scott Fishbowl drafts done?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. It's pretty rare for them to go this long. Only before this year, only five in history had gone past 14 days. And we'd be on day like 19 right now. I think they're all done.
And now Underdog is still running their best ball satellites. Tell us a little about that.
Yes. Go to underdogfantasy.com and you can sign up for a fishbowl satellite. You can win your way in next year to play against me or Brian or Charge or, you know, Matthew Berry or whoever. You know, we're all in it. Everybody in the industry is in it. Most people are in the industry are in it. Just look for the Scott Fishbowl satellite for charity. It's $5.
$5.
Yeah. It's just do one draft and that money goes straight to the JJ Watt Foundation.
Yeah. If you're thinking about doing a mock draft, this is a way better. You'll get real ADP here. It only costs $5.
Real
it's for
ADP,
a good cause. You can win your way into the Scott Fishbowl next year. And you'll see some familiar names in your draft room, I'm sure. And another way to get in to Scott Fishbowl next year, other than just signing up at scottfishbowl.com. No guarantees, though, because you got thousands and thousands. If you could get everyone in, you would, right?
Yeah, I would. But it's at about a 1 in 10, 1 in 12 click that I get people in.
In the event you don't hit that lotto, you can win your way in again this year at guillotineleagues.com in the Scott Fishbowl Super Chop contest.
Yes.
It is a $50 entry, but all proceeds go to charity.
Yep.
And if you're unfamiliar with Super Chop, it's a form of a guillotine league where it's 12 person leagues. And what you need to do is win your 12 person league. So that's the regular season is 11 weeks.
Yep.
You win your 12 person league. You're into the Scott Fishbowl.
Yes.
Automatically.
All 12 of those winners will be.
And you also win a sweet ring from Trophy Smack. You also get a full, just for signing up, you get a full subscription to RotoWire.
Yeah, part of that $50 sign up, you get a RotoWire subscription.
But you win your 12 person league, you go to the playoff round where you'll face the other 11 league winners, and you have a whole brand new draft.
Yeah.
In November, which is awesome. Like, who's drafting in November? Basically nobody. So go to guillotineleagues.com, just go to the ways to play tab, you'll find the Scott Fishbowl Super Chop and sign up. I know there's about 20. Yep. There's about 80 spots left.
Yeah, this is one thing we have not publicized publicly yet because we wanted our FFW listeners to have the first shot. Like, you're hearing it now. Go get in there because the second Charge and I start, you know, putting it out there. It like last year, what it fill in a couple hours after Charge and I started mentioning it on social media.
It took about a day.
Yeah, it was filled the first day when Charge and I started mentioning it on social media. So, you hear this, go get in there because the second we do that, it's going to fill up quick.
Act now. Yes. I've never said that before.
Yeah.
It's like on TV.
Special,
act now.
Special for the Fantasy Football Weekly listeners to be able to get in there first.
All right, Scott, we did it.
We did it.
Another off season in the books.
Yep, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at ScottFish24. You can follow Brian Johnson on Twitter at BTXJ.
Yeah.
I think that's all for now. So we'll see you next week. We'll hear you. No, we won't even see or hear you. We'll hope that you're listening to us next week for the 2 hour season premiere of season. Is it season 28?
At
29.
Least.
I think it's season 29 of Fantasy Football Weekly.
29
yes,
times.
29 times. Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you all have a great day.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights. Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect. Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.